Well, friends, I want to speak and I want us to think about wisdom for life this morning. As we do this, I'm speaking largely to people who are the people of God, to those people who know the God of the Bible personally, who know Him through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who lives with them and in them by His Holy Spirit. If you don't know personally the God of the Bible, if you're unable to say, I have a relationship, a living relationship with the God of the Bible, then there's two things I want to say to you, and I'll say them right now. The first is the response cards that you got on the way in. I want to encourage you to write down that you'd like to come and do a course called Christianity Explained, a chance where you get to sit down and consider, who is the God of the Bible? How can I know Him and enter a relationship with Him? Now, I'm starting the next course of that tomorrow night. Monday nights might not work for you, but please put on the card, if you don't know the God of the Bible personally, that you'd like to do that, say that Monday works, or tell me a time that works for you, and we'll work out some way of getting together to meet and do that course with you. The second thing is, as I speak, though I'm speaking particularly to those who are in relationship with the God of the Bible, the wisdom that Proverbs speaks of is wisdom from the God of the universe to all people living in this world. And so the advice here will be helpful for you in your life and the way that you live it. The danger for us is that we walk away with cute, pithy sayings, we go away with a to-do list, thinking, if I just do these things, then God will accept me, God will like me, God will give me what I want. But the wisdom for life we find in Proverbs, and that we're going to be sharing with you, is for life in relationship with God through the Lord Jesus. I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll move on and start looking more closely at some of what God has to say. Dear God, help us to hear the words of Proverbs and to understand how your people are to live as your people. And dear God, please help us avoid the confusion of thinking that if we just do better, we can become your people. Because we can only become your people through faith in Jesus Christ, your Son. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen. One of the great things about the nature and character of God is that out of His love, He disciplines, He corrects, He teaches, and He trains us. And so as we work through some areas, we may find, I certainly have found for myself, that there are areas that I need to repent in, areas where I need to change my ways. It's out of love that God corrects us, and He needs to correct us, because the nature of sin in our lives means that we do things that damage our lives, damage the lives of those around us, that destroy relationships rather than build relationships. It comes in our attitudes, it comes in our actions. So I hope there's a word of correction to you this morning from God. We start our journey with the most famous part of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to start at verse 1, though, before the bit that many of you will be able to rattle off by heart. Proverbs 3, verse 1, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so that you will find favour and good success in the sight of God and man." Father is there speaking to his son, saying, the way of grace and good favour in the sight of both God and people is to obey these words that I give you. Obey this wisdom. And when he says, don't forget, in verse 1, it equals remember. And anyone who's a parent knows that remember equals do that thing we've just been talking about, right? Recall it, put it into action. It's restated in verse 3 in a slightly different way, with taking on the characteristics of steadfast love and faithfulness. Let them be with you always. And do it by what? Attaching them to yourself. Externally attach it by, let these things hang around your neck. Attaching them internally, may they be written on your heart. And go and live out these characteristics, which are the characteristics of the God in whom you have relationship through Jesus, his Son. And the Son's been told, you will be respected for living these qualities out. You will be honoured. You will be sought out for your wisdom. Sure, at the Australian culture means you're going to get paid out and you're going to be made fun of. But people will respect you and honour you, even in the midst of the stirring and jibing and the like that goes on. Now, what is that wisdom like? The first verse you've got there on the outline is all about trust. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Trust in the Lord. It's the starting point for the Christian life. Trusting the Lord God who sent his Son Jesus to die as a ransom for my sin. Trust in him. Trust that he is sovereign. Trust that he is in control. That he actually knows the end from the beginning. We see in part, but he sees the whole. As Christians, our confession is, we trust the Lord. We acknowledge our lack of resources, and we trust in his power and his wisdom. And when it comes to how do we live life, it's trusting that his way is a better guide to life than what I come up with myself. And friends, it's challenging. To trust fully in the Lord means leaning not on my own understanding. In some ways, I should just keep reading the verses over and over again, right? It means trusting his ways. It means committing to God's way of acting, to God's way of responding, to God's way of dealing with and caring for people. In all our ways. In all our relationships. In all our actions, commit to God's way of doing things. So we think about ourselves as God's people gathered. You know, God has gathered us together. Each and every one of us, he has gathered, called, and made us part of this people here. So we can't just ignore people in our midst. We can't just avoid people because we don't see eye to eye with them or we've had difficulties in the past. Trusting the Lord with all your heart means trusting his gathering of these people together. It means that we will commit to those who are sitting around us now. It means loving those gathered. Loving as Christ loved you and laid down his life for you. Forgiving as in Christ God has forgiven you. See, that is acknowledging him in all our ways. Now, it doesn't change whether I'm talking about church. Well, there's actually a heightened and a much greater significance, actually, about our life together as the people of God. But in terms of how we respond to people in the workplace or at home or in the shops or in the neighbourhood, we are to love them. But above all, we are to love the gathered people of God. Beyond all else. In all our ways, acknowledge him. And he says, he will make our paths straight. Now, straight doesn't mean roads paved with gold. Right? It's not some sort of never-ending travelator that just sort of you just stand on and it just takes you wherever you want to go. That's not what he's talking about. This world is not our home. The straight path, I think, is the path to home in heaven. And what's the essence of being in heaven? It's being fully, completely united with Christ, in full relationship with him and with one another, his people. And so as we follow his way, we walk his path, we reap the blessings now in part of what is to come. So we trust him, we acknowledge him, we stop being wise in our own eyes. We work at stopping conducting life in the way that I choose, in line with what I see is best for me. Rather, I fear God. I flee from evil. And as we do that, we actually get that thing that we long for. Don't we long to be refreshed? To be healed? To be at one? To have peace? As we walk in his ways, as we let go of our resources and take on his resources. Verse 8 says that healing, that comfort, that refreshment that we long for, we receive. And as that path concludes, it concludes in the city of God, the heavenly Jerusalem, the place truly paved with gold, and all refreshment and restoration in all its fullness. I want you to take a moment now just to think on that issue of trusting in the Lord and think back this week. If you've got a pencil, one of the response cards or the outline in front of you, write down something from this week where as you reflect upon it, you didn't trust in the Lord with all your heart. Where you lent on your own understanding. Now take that moment to stop and think and write down just one incident this week where you didn't trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now what would that have looked like if you get that time over again, the great retrospective, go and have our time over again. What would it have looked like if you had trusted in the Lord with all your heart? And you'd lent not on your own understanding. Not necessarily the outcome, but your response, your action. What would it have looked like if you'd have been trusting in the Lord with all your heart and lent not on your own understanding? I ask you to do that. I don't want to burden you with guilt. Okay, that's not the reason why we do it. God wants to train us. He wants to teach us. He wants to correct us. That we might walk in his ways. If we don't stop and reflect, we don't learn from the past, we don't grow. That's why I ask you those questions. If you're feeling guilty, come back to the cross of Christ. There Jesus died for your sins. That by faith you enter a relationship with him, you are his. And so what we're doing is asking the question, how do I walk as one of his people? How do I walk in a way that honors him, that is best for those around me, and that is best for me? We're going to push around a few other areas. The next one is that Proverbs 15:33 quote, "The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor." Humility. Humility and wisdom are often connected in Proverbs. Just as pride and foolishness get connected together. Humility and wisdom is trusting in God's resources, not being wise in our own eyes, not depending upon my own understanding. Humility is bred from a healthy fear of the Lord. As a parent, day after day I see it. As a school teacher, I used to see it day after day. As someone in full-time Christian ministry, I continue to see it day after day. I see one argument after another arising out of a lack of humility. See, our pride puts ourselves at the center of the universe. A healthy fear of the Lord takes us out of the center and allows God to be in the center. And as we shift from the center, as we allow God to take his rightful place, what will happen is we will develop a healthy distrust of our own abilities. We'll stop rating ourselves more highly than we ought. And we will trust in God and his ways, and that will increase. So Proverbs 29:23 says, "One's pride will bring them low, but they who are lowly in spirit will obtain honor." When was the last time you said, in the course of a disagreement with someone, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make you feel that way. Full stop." And you didn't go on to say, "Sorry, I didn't mean to make you feel that way," and then you go on with justifying your own actions and defending what you did and in effect saying, "I'm sorry you got hurt, but really I was right and you were wrong." So many of our difficulties continue because of that. I think perhaps one of the most practical and beneficial results of humility is that the humble person is open to correction. They're open to see that they actually aren't perfect, that they don't do everything right, that they get things wrong. So the humble person will listen to criticism. They will take it to heart and they will respond with the steadfast love and faithfulness that is spoken of in Proverbs 3:3. And that leads us to the next quote at the top of the second page, which is about the words that we use. Proverbs 15:23, "To make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is." See, the wise person is sparing in their words, but fools run off at the mouth. The wise are careful, and they speak only when necessary. You think of the people in your life that you think of as wise? They often say less than the average bear, don't they? And when they speak, people give ear to what they have to say. Proverbs 13 verse 3 says, "Whoever guards their mouth preserves their life. The one who opens wide their lips comes to ruin." And Proverbs 17:27, "Whoever restrains their words has knowledge. And the one who has a cool spirit is a person of understanding." The wise think before they speak. The fool speaks before they think. That was my own one, that one there. It's off the back. It's like the carpenter's rule, isn't it? Right? Measure twice, cut once. Now you come and see my carpentry work and it's done the other way around. It says something of my skills. But friends, the heart of the righteous, right, the heart of the wise person ponders how they answer. But the mouth of the wicked just pours out evil. To speak without thinking, it usually creates more harm than good, both for yourself and for others. The Proverbs 29 says, "Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? Well, there is more hope for a fool than for him." I think it connects well, the apt words and the idea of humility. The humble are wise. They will be quick to listen and they will be slow to speak. They will weigh advice. They will love the giver of that advice for their faithfulness and their commitment to them. But you may think that they've got it wrong. You may weigh it and go, "You didn't understand all the circumstances." But the humble will accept it, they will hear it, they will weigh it, and they will act upon it. The fool, Proverbs 9 says, will just give abuse back. The one who reproves or rebukes a wicked man incurs injury. It says, don't correct a scoffer or he will hate you, but correct a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise person and they will be wiser still. Teach a righteous person and they will increase in learning. Is that you? Is that what we'd like to be, though? It's hard, isn't it? It's hard. Because we know in our lives that these two things come together as we speak of others. It might be rumors, it might be gossip, it might be slander, it might be insults, and we've sat on both sides of the fence. And we continue to sit on both sides of the fence. But as we think about God who we're in relationship with, God who we're seeking to honor, God who we're seeking to live for, well, his nature is the restoration of relationships. See, our lips are so important because we can either work to build up and restore relationships or we can destroy them. And our loose lips and our foolish speech destroys community. And among the people of God, it destroys the community that God is building through Christ and the proclamation of the gospel. You think of 1 John that talks, by their love, they will know that they are my disciples. It's not just that we cuddle each other and cook meals for one another and lend each other our cars, but that's part of it. It's how we speak, it's how we relate, it's how we listen, it's how we respond. The wise person knows what to speak and when to speak it. In our foolishness, we so often defend ourselves with, but it's true, but I was only trying to help. In a proverb that's maybe apt for this week, Proverbs 26, for the lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. Speak what is helpful, speak what builds and strengthens the individual relationship as well as the community's relationship. You know, I got to confess, when Chris announced that he was leaving and I started the process of finding out who are assistant ministers or guys coming out of college that I needed to interview, there's one of guy that Chris and I know that I interviewed last time that I felt like I couldn't call him and interview him because I interviewed him when I interviewed Chris and Steph. And I've mocked him and made fun of him to people here. He's a great guy and a really great, faithful minister of the gospel. But the words and the jokes that I've made had me going, I can't ring him because it wouldn't be fair to bring him here because of the foundation that I've laid in places. It was all very funny. And we had a good laugh, the people I shared it with. Proverbs 18 says, the words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. Our mocking and our slander tastes so good, doesn't it? Wise words promote community. Foolish words destroy them. Destroy it. Proverbs 11, by the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is overthrown. I want to encourage us to take great care with our speech, to give it the attention it deserves. A wise word spoken at the right time is a great thing. Just because it's a good word doesn't make it right to speak. Right? Good words at good times. Proverbs 27, whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice rising early in the morning will be counted as cursing. That pesky neighbour on a Saturday morning who starts the lawnmower up at 7:10 and wakes you from that nice sleep-in that you're waiting for all week. Good thing to do, wrong timing. It's the child jumping on you in bed, you know, just after you've gone to sleep. Good words at good times. To make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is. Friends, in the middle of that, the second page of the outline, there's a few other quotations, references to various topics. I'm not going to expand on all of those. I want to pick up very briefly. Alcohol is such a dangerous thing. Our speech carries so much weight, has so much influence. James speaks heavily about it. Proverbs speaks heavily about it. Under the influence of alcohol, there is much aggression, there is much destruction to relationships, and at the heart of it is we start to lose control of our tongue and our speech. Now, I want to justify myself because I love a glass of red wine and I like a glass of white wine with a nice Thai takeaway like last night. And I like a glass of port or a Bailey's if I'm staying up late playing cards or board games. I love a beer after a long game of golf that's been really hot, and I can keep justifying things. But it's not helpful for my tongue. And we need to be thinking, how is this going to help me use my tongue wisely and for the glory of God? And be very slow to add the justifying comments. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear God and shun evil. We need to be very careful. The next quote there is about on families. Very briefly, family is the place of instruction. Proverbs 4, when I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. We want to be teaching our children. And in this place gathered together, we want to together be teaching our children. We want to love and care and instruct them in the ways of Christ. We do it with discipline, with grace. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Training, it's discipline with grace, both together. And importantly, we model godly behavior. The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. We are to model godly behavior. And so all that's come before of trusting, of humility, of speaking, that is part of the godly behavior that we're to model before our children. Friends, I come back to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Be not wise in your own eyes. If there's a word from the Lord our God that you or I need to hear this morning, I pray that we may hear it and we may take action. That we might be like the wise man who weighs the word of God, who lets it sink down into their heart, and lets it change and transform us. That we might walk as wise ones. So God has called us into his kingdom. He's done it through his Son. He has sealed us with his Holy Spirit, and he has gathered us together in this place. Together, I want to encourage us to walk as wise ones, trusting in the Lord, practicing humility, speaking appropriately for the good of one another and the building up of his glorious kingdom. Let me finish with Ephesians 5. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Amen.